I've got many readings this morning, so maybe we would just come on at Corinthians chapter 9, I think it is. Sorry, Corinthians chapter 10, where you find the place. I thank you for being here this morning. We pray that the Lord would undertake for our time this morning. Let's just give him a few wee words of thanks and for help. Father, we thank you and praise you once again for thy grace, thy mercy, and thy love to us. We thank you for our time this morning where thy presence was here, Lord, and we praise you for that. And we pray for that, Father, this word, Lord, that you, you've set upon me, Lord. We pray that not only be a challenge to me, but a challenge to those that would hear in the hall and also those that would hear on the net. There we commit it to you and give you thanks in the Saviour's name. Amen. Corinthians chapter 10, please. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, my brother was on it this morning. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and drink all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. For these things were an example to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, with some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of a serpent. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of their destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I want you to come over with me to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy. This morning I would like to continue where we left off from the morning meeting. I would like to bring notice again to the God of our salvation, Jehovah, the Almighty God, the Most High God. We want to bring before you His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, begotten of the Father. We want to bring before you His power and His Holy Spirit. We want to bring before you His love. It's been mentioned a couple of times already this morning. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Psalm 139, and I want you to read it yourself when you go home, there is nothing, may I repeat, there is nothing hidden from God. Proverbs 15:3 tells us, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Beholding the evil and the good." Genesis 16, verses 13, one that we all know very well, was when Hagar and Ishmael were put out. And while they were alone in the desert, and she could still say, "Thou, Lord, seest me." You know, if we as Christians, and I emphasize the we, if we as Christians, saved Christians, we live life realizing that God sees what I do, what I say, what I think. Yes, and remember even the very thoughts that is in our heads. We emphasize again, would not make as many mistakes or many sins. Just think about that. Well, 1 Samuel 16 tells us, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh in the heart." You know, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And no, who can know it? But God knows it. Psalm 121 tells us that David says, "God never sleeps. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." John 4:29, and now there's a reason for reading these all, as you see where it's going to lead you to. The woman at the well, when the woman the Lord met at the well, later went into the city. And what did she say? She said, "Come and see a man." And what a man? A man that no man could live like him. A man that suffered more than any other man. A man that no man could speak like him. A man that was only able to go to Calvary and shed his precious blood, that you and I may be saved. And if you're not saved and you're listening here this morning, that's what you need to do. We're not here to please people, we're here to tell them about the word of God. Amen. The woman said, "Come and see a man that told me all the things that I ever did." Brother Bert said this morning, he had black days. I think we've all had black days one time. Now if I put a notice up, if the notice went outside the gate there and turned around and say, Davy Bert or Sam or Jody will be telling you, there'll be a Fulham got up and telling you all that he ever done. The night, at 8:30. Well, if it be me, I'd be away. I'd get the first bus out. And if we went up that sign, I'm sure there'd be a jam at that door to get out. But she said, "All, he told me all that I ever did." He knows everything. He hears everything. He sees everything. And sometimes I believe that the Christians don't realize that with some of the things that they say and some of the things that they do. Bert was talking last Sunday there about Haggai. Consider the way that you're going. There's two thoughts to these verses that I've been giving you this morning. One is a very comforting thought. to the child of God. To know that the Heavenly Father watches over us is a wonder and a joy to behold. Amen. Is it not? He that keepeth ye will not slumber, never leave ye nor forsake thee. No man can ever pluck us from his hands. But then there's another thought which is very disturbing. And it's for the lost. If you're not saved, Lord sees whatever you're doing. And you must be saved. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's a disturbing thought. It's a disturbing thought for the Christian as well. The born again Christian. The saved Christian. Sadly, you have to say that. The Christian that's not walking right before his God. Who compromises the word of God to suit his own self. And what does he do? He puts himself out of fellowship with his God. I was looking at, on Friday, I got a paper, and I don't know if you ever seen that. Why I regret saying that gay sex is not a sin, by Tim Farn. He's a Christian. And he was on a Christian program there the other day there. And he was told that he compromised his job. He compromised his position in Christ for his job. Yeah. When he was asked by the press, he wouldn't say whether it would be a sin or not, whether it would be a sin or not. But when he was asked in the House of Parliament, he had to answer it. And he says it wasn't a sin. And he never had peace or rest until he put it right. And that's him putting it right. You can't compromise the word of God. You can't live as the way you like. And that's why I was bringing all these, the Lord gave me all these passages to bring before you. Friends, there are two things. It's necessary in order for us to live in Christ. And that's regeneration and reconciliation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he has given us the ministry, Paul could say, the ministry of reconciliation. Through the precious blood of our Saviour and Lord, no man can do these things on his own. You must be born again. In Deuteronomy, I may be touching this one time before, and Deuteronomy means the second law. It wasn't an hour law, it was repeating it again. It records the second giving of a law by Moses. As he prepared the nation to enter the promised land for their inheritance. But Moses did more than simply repeat the law to a new generation. He applied it to their new life in the land. And stressed the importance of a loving God and obeying him from the heart. I don't mean this thing that's pumping away inside here. That's only a muscle that keeps the blood pumping around the body. The heart means the government or the governor. It's inside the person. It's inside this frame here. The parliament of ourselves. Paul did likewise with the epistles to the church. And someday maybe I'll maybe continue from here on. I was emphasizing the we. Well, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5, them two chapters, Paul has to explain to them who they are, we. In chapter 4, I think it's 11 times he mentions we. And I think it's 20 times in chapter 5 he mentions we. We have to show who we are and where we are going. The nation owned the land, but God gave them the grace. The nation possessed the land, but it was God's power. You and I, brothers and sisters, this morning, have salvation, and it's by the grace of God. None else, not yourself. For by grace we are saved through faith, is not of ourselves, the gift of God, nor of works, lest any man should boast. None to boast about. Nothing to boast about. And we possessed it by the power. And we're going to go to a land that's been prepared for us, and it'll be by the power of God. Not to do with ourselves. See, we're only clay. We're only dust. What I want to say to you this morning, I want you to remember that they could not enter the land unless they obey the word of God. And it's very same for you and I, than Christ Jesus. I was reading somebody wrote that to disobey God is a sin. When the nation disobeyed God, God chastised them. If you go to the book of Judges, and you'll see the captivity of Babylon, God has no respect of persons. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Or chapter 7. Verse 6. And this is what Moses is saying to the people. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, and above all people that are upon the face of the earth. We're special. I know this is to the Jews, but we're special. The law has been done away with. We're living by grace now. There's no Scotsmen, there's no Irishmen, there's no Greeks, there's no Jews. We're in the body of Christ. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you, because you were more than number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep you, keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Do you remember when you were a young child, when you asked your mother for something that you were looking or wanting? She would say no. And you would say, if you were like me, why? And then she would answer, because. That was the end of it. No answer to that. That was the end of it. I didn't go to my father because my father wouldn't think we'd either say that was it. That was the end of it. There's times we do something or say something. Even when you watch youngsters playing and someone one of them will fall out with one another. And then they'll go in and say, well, you're not playing. Why are you not playing? Because. Well, see, God has a reason. For doing as he does also. Just because. Which you have just read here. He doesn't have to give a reason. All we have to do is believe it. He says to Israel. He says to Israel, why did God love you? He loved you because he loved you. But why? Because. Let's put it this way, when I was reading this, let's make it personal. Why did God love me? He loved me because he loved me. But why? Because he loved me. John 3:16, we've already said it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We loved him because he first loved me. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, that herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He loved us. God loved his people. God loves you and me this morning. But I want you to continue with me in Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the commandments which I commanded thee this day shall you observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. What to do? To humble ye. and to prove thee to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with the manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Look at verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do good at the latter day. See, when you're kept humble, you're more faithful and obedient. Being what we, emphasizing the we again, we need humbling. Man does not live by bread alone. This calls to mind that the people lost their appreciation of the manna. And sometimes we can lose appreciation of the word of God. The Lord said it was the bread of life. See, if we walk as men, we lose the taste for the manna. The Corinthians, our brother was talking about this morning, all things were happening there. They were walking as men and by the wisdom of men. They weren't going to God's word. They were not living by the word of God. Verse 4, the raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. 40 years they had that, nothing wore. I don't know what our sisters would do there, because there were no new outfits or nothing like that. It didn't wear. The shoes didn't wear. None. And it says, thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasten his son, so the Lord thy God will chasten thee. The only simple way I can put that, if you're not playing the game, you're liable for this to happen. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. How many fears the Lord today? There's a lot of people that don't even believe in him. And sadly enough, there's a lot of Christians don't fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines, fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and olive and honey. That verse there, you could bring out the Lord in that and every part of it. The bread of life is divine. We are the branches. Pomegranates speaks of the high priest with the bells and the And the olive, and the oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and the land whereon shall eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. There was wealth in the mountains. This was some place they were going to. And all they had to do was be obedient. And the land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. And the land with stones and iron, and out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. And then it says this in capital letters there. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has giveth thee. How often do we bless the Lord and thank him for what he gives us? He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all thou hast is multiplied, Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You know, in scriptures, Egypt was like the world. We were brought out of the world. We were washed and we were cleansed in the precious blood. And we don't give them what we should give them. Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, which brought thee forth water out of the rocks of flint. Serpents and scorpions. Brothers and sisters, what a privileged people we are this morning, and what he's done for us at Calvary's cross. Consider your ways. We're told, verse 17, and thou shalt say it in thy heart, my power and my might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Who gave you the health to work? Who gave you the jobs? Nobody says that. They always say, I done it. If you didn't have health, you wouldn't have a job. You'd be sitting in some corner that's at some other quarters. You can't do nothing. You have to depend on the state to keep you. We're very, very, very privileged people. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be if thou do all at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods. Man, there's a lot of other gods about. And a lot of other idols about. And we're all subject to them. Starting from here. And it shall be, if I do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall perish. There was no grace there. They were under the law. The parents, we get saved by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. You're saved for eternity. You might be disobedient. And you might be running after things that you shouldn't be running after. But you're still saved by the grace of God. God will not let you perish. But you're without a fellowship, and he may take you out. There was no grace. And there was no mercy. No salvation there. But wait what he says here. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods to serve them, and worship them, and testify against them, this day thou shalt surely perish. And as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you know, that's very disturbing, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. If we would only do the things that he would want us to do, consider our ways of going. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 13 says this, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight when he made it crooked? 7 verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider God also has set one against the other, to end that man should find nothing after him. We don't take nothing with us. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. See, because Ecclesiastes says this in 5 and 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. No satisfaction. Ecclesiastes 6, all the labour of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. There's nobody new any more than Solomon. He had it all. He had it all, and it was vanity. All is vanity. Only Christ can satisfy. So we have there, freehand there, just I'm going to read the words out to you. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love and heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave there to prove my Savior lives. Mm-hmm. What does it say? But because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Just because he lives. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Let me back you with give thanks.
Feeding on the manna, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Feeding on the Word of God and the challenge of it, Lord. We thank and praise thy name, Lord, thee, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and serve him will cost us everything, Lord.
Amen.
Take this world and give me the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy word, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us through the Apostle Paul. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know the good and perfect will of God. This is the result, of course, of obedience to the Word of God. And sadly, we see in the Old Testament days, right down through the Book of Kings, Chronicles, and elsewhere, where Israel disobeyed God and followed after all the gods, made a set stay, as it were, and suffered the consequences. It's about the fellowship with God. That's the same case for Christians today, Lord, indeed. We cannot lose our salvation. We can certainly lose the joy of it, Lord, being out of fellowship condition.
Amen.
As David well prayed in the psalm, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I show transgression thy way and sinners should be converted unto thee, Lord. We cannot do anything for God in an out of fellowship condition, living in disobedience. Power comes alone by obeying the living word of the living God. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Thy word tells us, study the commandment to show thyself approved unto God. A woke man who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and of course being obedient to the word of God. We thank you for the challenge, Lord, this morning.
Amen.
And we all need to be challenged according to this, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes, our Lord already mentioned there are many gods. But we're not saying that people fall down to idols of stone and iron and brass and wood. But there are many idols in this world. Football idols, pop idols, and all that sort of thing. And worshiping all these, putting them first before thee, Lord. Anything we put before thee, Lord, becomes a god. An idol to be followed, it's hard to say. We pray, Lord, that you will take this message home with us and keep our eyes fixed only on our Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. As our brother told us this morning already at the Lord's Supper, that we run the race that's set before us, patience set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith.
Amen.
Our Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, must have a place of preeminence, thy word makes it plain. That in all things he must have a preeminence. And our daily walk and talk, our thoughts, we lie down, wake up, our hearts must be clear before thee, Lord. Yes, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So we give thanks to you, honour and glory for thy blessing and happiness. Thanks for the word this morning, and our Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ, precious, blessed, and wondrous name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.